Hey, what's up, everybody? My name's MJ, and you're listening to the MTG in Quarantine podcast. As usual, I'd like to give a quick shout-out to my local game store, Guardian Games. You can find Guardian Games on the web at ggportland.com. I'd also like to use this time to thank my patron, Mr. Big Benz, for supporting me over on patreon.com/mtginquarantine. If you'd like to help support the show and help me make more amazing content, head on over to patreon.com/mtginquarantine for more information. Today's episode of the podcast is another in the Guild Talk series, where I bring amazing members of the community and other content creators on to talk about the various two-color pairings of the MTG color pie. So I've already done quite a few of the guilds, and on to talk about the Selesnya Conclave, I'd like to reintroduce Cole from the Uncommon Commander podcast. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me on, MJ.
Yeah, no problem. It's nice having you on here, especially to talk about Selesnya, which is something that I've been getting a lot more into lately.
Yeah, Selesnya was actually the first big color combination I got into when I started playing Magic. And I, coming from being a green player into a green and white mentality, kind of looking at what cards are available and what kind of unique synergies come with it, I always think it's very interesting to come back to every few years.
Sure.
So let's see. I started playing green. I was introduced to Magic pretty early in my life, but it kind of slipped in and out until eventually I picked up a green deck when I was 10, and then my friend reintroduced Magic to me when I was 16. And it was around this time Innistrad was being released. And in that set, there's some really neat human synergies between white and green, and I thought that was really interesting because it was the first other color that I really gave a consideration to. I wasn't a fan of blue at the time, and black didn't really seem achievable, and red just seemed boring, and I'm like, well, this seems like a nice color combination that seems resilient. It caters to, like, green and white has this really kind of neat synergy between its small and big creatures, and I was all for that. And then after playing Innistrad block and then moving into the Return to Ravnica block and what Selesnya brought to the table, I was so enthralled with just, like, Selesnya charm. I'm like, this is just a great card. I'm totally for this.
Yeah, it is definitely an interesting intersection between green's willingness to grow and white's interest in togetherness. Obviously, we've seen in the lore, in the stories, that the Conclave is very much, in a way, kind of insular, but also looking to nurture life, trying to just improve its numbers, its ranks, etc., etc. So that's why we see a lot of token synergies, a lot of enchantment synergies. They kind of just evoke that feeling of togetherness. Has a lot of population mechanics, trying to improve or increase the number of tokens you have on the field, just things like that. And it's a very interesting color combination to come to, because I found that people typically find this. And again, I say that about a lot of these different guilds, but I feel like Selesnya kind of falls off the wagon, so to speak, of a lot of different people's interests in the two-color pairings, because if they don't necessarily like tokens, or they don't necessarily like some of the things that green and white do, they kind of just slough this color combination off. And I'd like to use this opportunity to say that each two-color pairing, each color has its own strengths and weaknesses. And Selesnya is definitely one of those things where if you haven't had a chance to look into Selesnya before, I highly recommend you do that. I recently built out of Modern Horizons 2 Sithis Harvest Hand. I had some interesting interesting enchantments I had lying around in my long box of chaff, as well as just some other weird things from the history of Magic that I just wanted to jam into a deck, and it just seemed like a perfect fit. So it allowed me to really try something different, and that's actually become quite a popular deck just in the last couple of months, with over 700 decks on EDH Rec in just 60 days. So it's definitely a popular color combination, and I think more people really should play it.
And see, that's the point, your transition from not a lot of people are interested in Selesnya, but once you put something interesting at the forefront, like, I'm sorry, the card was called...
like Sithis Harvest Hand, yeah.
Like Sithis, like, so this is really the versatility of Selesnya kind of at its peak. you have a lot of crossovers between green and white, and one of those is, of course, Enchantress style effects. And although white has gotten a few more pieces, green has a lot of the more interesting enchantments, I think, in the long run. And sure. kind of keeping having them go hand in hand, and having a commander in the command zone that really brings it all together, you're getting value right out of the gate. And that, I think that's what makes it really interesting and really powerful.
Yeah, and even though I did just mention a few of the main themes of Selesnya, when you go down the list of popular Selesnya commanders, you actually see a lot of variety in the ways that Selesnya really works with the color pairing. You don't necessarily just have tokens. So, yeah, again, you do have Sithis, you do have Karametra, you do have Siona, you do have a lot of these creatures that kind of fit within that enchantment token. You have Wreath the Redeemed, those sorts of token, enchantment, et cetera, rinse, repeat. But you, as soon as you start going down the list, you start seeing a lot of plus one counters. You start seeing whatever Gaddic Teague is doing. Obviously, people hate that one. You have Safi Eric's Daughter doing self-sacrifice to save another one of your creatures. You have some interesting tribal synergies. It kind of goes on down the list. And you end up realizing that there's just a lot of different things you can do with this color combination that don't necessarily require you to be playing with a lot of tokens. Obviously, tokens are very popular, but the fact that you even have Captain Sisse available here just for legends in Selesnya colors, well, that's vastly different right there. So I think that there's a lot to be learned from this color combination. I learned a lot about different playstyle just by playing my Sylvala CEDH deck a few times. That's doing something completely different that green doesn't normally do. It's not really necessarily the group hug color, but that deck makes it work really well.
Yeah, when Sylvala was released during Conspiracy, I thought it was really interesting because it has this strange, nearly uninteractable ability that everyone gets to benefit from, but you in the long run, gaining mana and gaining life and finding what numerous ways to tap and untap or trying to kind of assemble a winning strategy and a winning combo. Like, I definitely think Sylvala was sort of the peak of Selesnya design when she was released.
Sure. So is there a specific deck that you really feel like on your end really really evokes the Selesnya feel to it? Anything that where you're really proud to say, hey, this is a Selesnya deck, it does this one thing? You know, just what gets you really excited about these colors, and how have you put that in your deck building?
Now, I normally start off with saying that it was Sigarda, Host of Herons, back during Innistrad block, because that's where when she showed up, and that was my first Selesnya legendary. She's pretty strong. But I think this one card really exemplifies it. Hamza, Guardian of Erishin.
Yep.
It's a 4 and white and green for a 5/5 Elephant Warrior. The spell costs 1 less to cast for each creature you control with a +1 counter on it. And creature spells cost 1 less to cast for each creature you control with a +1 counter on it. This deck just goes. Reducing the cost of spells, particularly creatures, is really powerful. You could also kind of look at its big brother, Animar, Soul of Elements,
yeah,
which is Temur. But taking the core aspect of green and then just simply being able to reduce the cost of your commander and then by proxy also reduce the cost of your creature spells is powerful and very flavorful.
Yeah, especially since both green and white run a lot of +1/+1 counter synergies. The fact that you are able to effectively just bleed cards from your hand onto the table, sometimes even for free or almost free, that's not to be understated, especially since green is the color of giant, powerful, beefy creatures. And, you know, getting a +1/+1 counter, there's tons of just even commons out there that do that sort of thing. So you don't necessarily have to worry about running what people typically say you have to, quote-unquote have to, in a lot of green decks. Again, talking about the doublers, doubling season, et cetera, rinse, repeat. This right here effectively says, you know that Iron Shell Beetle you got sitting around somewhere? All of a sudden, that could be a serious staple in this particular deck because all you care about is that +1/+1 counter.
You know, I remember when you guessed it on my podcast episode, yeah, when you were talking about Renata, who puts plus one counters on other creatures when they enter the battlefield. There's a lot of cards in green that best exemplify growing your board and being able to do things with plus one counters, whether that's granting indestructible or giving your creatures trample or some kind of evasion, being able to draw cards off of something like Inspiring Call. There's the synergy and crossover between green and white is best exemplified here, and that's why I'm such a big fan of it.
Yeah, I really love the flavor of all this, and just the fact that you, and plus one counters are great. That's the reason why we have hardened scales. Just fun things like that. But again, you don't have to necessarily break the bank in these sorts of decks. That's what's so great about Hamza, is that you can just create a deck. You could easily create a deck for $25 out of there and have it slap, just because plus one counters are so.
Oh boy, will it slap. I mean, the amount of power that you can quickly generate out of this style of deck, and whether or not you're able to draw cards off casting creature spells or putting big creatures into play, sure. But being able to take your humble 2-mana creature and have it very quickly turn into a 6-6, a 7-7, being able to swing in, it's very alarming when you're on the receiving end of it.
Sure. And I think that's what Selesnya really relies upon as a color combination, is building value over time. We talk about Simic doing that a lot as a value engine, but in a way, I think Selesnya does that in its own way, is that you have to try to get into a groove of value, but once you do, that train's going to just take off, and then everyone else at the table is going to have to deal with it, because these two colors are just so great at building a board state, building up resources, and then also having pieces to be able to protect that stuff. Maybe green doesn't necessarily have the biggest suite of protection spells outside of Heroic Intervention or various other specific pieces, but white is one of the, it is basically the color of protection. So you have abilities to be able to protect your team, again, obviously Teferi's protection, but just flawless maneuver going on down to the various much cheaper indestructible spells, Make a Stand, or the one that even allows you to populate. I can't remember what the name of that card is, but even that one, which would work really well in a
token
deck.
I'm trying to think of it off the top of my head, and it's a 3-mana instant. It's beautiful. It's simple. It does its job. That's the thing about these colors that brought me into Magic in the first place and allows me to come back to it even years later. There's plenty of synergy across the board. There's numerous ways to protect your creatures. I would basically consider it the best jack-of-all-trades color combination, and I don't mean that in a diminishing way. I believe that is its strength. Green and white is the best at being fortuitous and highly resistant to, like, just simply board wipes. You're trying to get rid of my stuff. I have ways around that of protecting it. It's super resilient, and that's what I think what makes it really interesting at a commander table, at a casual table.
It's certainly flavorful, if nothing else.
Oh, very much so.
Yeah, that it's like everything I said at the top of the show, is that you're going to be trying to build a board and then protect your board. So again, these are the two colors that green builds typically and white protects. I mean, at a very high level, obviously both of them have other strengths and other weaknesses, but when you really boil it down to it, you can basically say Selesnya green's growth and white is for protection in some cases. And there's a lot of overlap between the two when you really get down to the nitty-gritty of it. So I like to ask this of everyone who's on the show, Cole. Where do you want to see Selesnya going, let's say, in the next 3 to 5 years? Are there any specific threads you'd like to see, any mechanics that you'd like to see more of, any similar abilities to Legends we already have you'd like to see? I did mention Gaddock Teague, Safi, and Captain Sisse just as examples of Selesnya cards that go off and do different things than what we've been talking about. Is there something specific you'd like to see this color combination be able to do that maybe we haven't seen before?
See, the first thing that comes up to mind is that Selesnya Archon that came out of a couple years ago, that when it enters the battlefield, you choose a mode and it prevents people from casting that type of spell. Kind of similar to Gaddock Teague is a sort of Staxi prevention style effect. I feel like that space can be explored that allows it to stay within Selesnya and doesn't necessarily bleed completely into white or green.
Yeah, that's interesting, because again, that kind of fits more into the preventing your opponents from being able to do things. And I have talked about in previous episodes how people don't always take that nicely.
Allow me to elaborate. That is pretty harsh. So the card is Arcan of Valor's Reach, and it says choose artifact, enchantment, instant sorcery, planeswalker, and it says players can't cast spells of the chosen type. Now, hard locks, I definitely do think, is probably outright the meanest thing you could do. What I would like to see is less hard lock or prevention and more kind of just soft locks, like possibly bumping up the cost of things by a tiny little bit in a way that's slightly annoying but allows people to still really consider how they want to play their game.
Yeah.
And still put it on something that is easy to target, so there's still a give and take. I prevent you from casting spells just an extra by an extra mana, but you're able to Doomblade my thing or bounce it back to my hand.
Mm-hmm.
Something that allows you and I to sort of have an ebb and flow between each other.
Mm-hmm. And that definitely goes into White's aspects of loving hate bearers and how taxing effects can definitely be a useful thing without having to go into the more Staxy side of White. And if you want to hear more about hate bears and how you can deploy those in your own decks, I did a very interesting episode a few weeks ago with Neo Royal talking about hate bears specifically. So definitely check that out if you're interested in learning more. Are there any other things you'd like to see Selesnya do going forward? Or do you feel like the colors pairing is in a really good place right now?
Yeah, aside from maybe kind of fiddling with a little more kind of Staxy kind of thing, I feel like, not that it's reached its end goal, but it's kind of in a good, comfortable spot. It kind of does a little bit of everything outside of, let's say, counter spells or bounce spells or anything like that. But you want to draw cards? You can do that. You want to play with +1 counters? You want to play with big and small creatures, tokens, doubling tokens? You have quite a few tools that synergize really well. It's really comfortable, and it can be really fun. And if they manage to break the mold and do something else, I'd just be really excited to see it. But in the meantime, pretty good.
Yeah, that I think you bring up a very good point there, is that this color combination already is able to do a whole lot of different things. When you look at the EDH rec page, there's just so many different things you can do in Selesnya. And it's definitely, I think, a lot more than a lot of people do think about this color combination, where, again, like I said at the top of the show, you think it's just about tokens, it's just about +1/+1 counters, it's just about enchantments. Well, sure, those are definitely a large part of what Selesnya does, but if you really start digging into it, you can do a whole lot of different things. And even if you want to do one of those strategies, like I could have built Syona instead of running Sithis, for instance, just because it's like, I want to play some weird enchantments versus playing some auras. Again, just some little difference. They're all enchantments in the end. But in my Sithis deck, I don't run a lot of auras because I just didn't really want to do that. I wanted to play with some other enchantments that turn into creatures. And again, I did talk about this more on a whole episode or on a different episode about my Sithis deck. So I won't go into it too much now, but again, there are just so many options in these colors that no matter what strategy you want to do, there's probably something out there for you that maybe you just haven't looked for. So again, I think EDH Rec is just a really good place to find out what's out there and then just really see what's tailored to your interests and try to start from there.
I guess my one last thing that I don't think really gets too focused on, but does still exist on EDH Rec with a quick glance, Selesnya has a really strong tribal sub-theme that kind of exists across several creatures, and I think that's really interesting. I would like to see more cats, and I would like to see more unicorns. I think everyone would appreciate
interesting. That. Interesting. Going with Emile the Blessed? Possibly.
I was thinking, possibly. Lathiel, the Bounty is Dawn. I mean, sure, that is a life gain and plus one counter style of deck. However, also a unicorn. And that's how you can bring it all together again.
And it doesn't necessarily have to synergize. If you want to build a unicorn deck, you can build around something. You can build around anything at the end of the day. As long as you feel like the deck is where you want it to be, that's all that matters.
I do think everyone, if you take a quick look, you'll find something on this list that really, really exemplifies your style of deck building.
Yep, I can definitely second that. All right, Cole, I want to thank you for taking the time to be on the episode today. It's been great having you.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. It's great talking with you.
So I have to apologize. I completely forgot to plug your content for the Uncommon Commanders podcast. So please let all the listeners know where they can find your podcast at.
Well, for starters, you can find me over on Twitter at Eclipse Meteor, twitter.com/EclipseMeteor. That's where you'll find most of my discussions and topics about Commander. You can find me over at the Uncommon Commander, unconventional EDH podcast over on where podcasts are provided, but mostly over on Spotify, where I bring guests such as MJ on to talk about legendary uncommon creatures and how you can build decks around them and have a lot of fun with that.
Yeah, I can definitely vouch for Cole's content there. It was great being able to be on that show, be able to talk about Renata Called to the Hunt, which was my take on that, on an Uncommon Commander, and it was a lot of fun. So definitely go check out the Uncommon Commander podcast. And if you want to hear the other Guild Talk episodes that I've done on the MTG and Quarantine podcast, as well as the entire back catalog of my podcast, you can find those on the usual podcast outlets: Google, Spotify, Apple, Player FM, MTGcast, CastBox, and so many others I can never remember all of them. You can also find me on Twitter at MTG in Quarantine. If you found the very content-looking Ulamog wearing a pair of headphones, you found the right place. And last but not least, again, I want to give a big, huge shout-out. Again, that's very redundant, but whatever. I'd like to give a huge shout-out to my patron, Mr. Big Benz, for supporting the show over on my Patreon. If you want to help support the show and help me make more amazing content, go on over to patreon.com/MTGinQuarantine for more information. All right, and you've been listening to the MTG in Quarantine podcast. My name's MJ. Have a great rest of your day, everybody.